Hello, my name is Barbara Davidson, and I'm a technical manager at the IASB. This is the second in a series of podcasts that I'm presenting on the proposed lease accounting model. Please note that this podcast is a staff summary. Therefore, the aspects of the model that I describe are based on board decisions to date, but they could change. This podcast was recorded on the 29th of June, 2010. So what am I going to cover in this podcast? Well, I'd like to discuss the board's tentative decisions on lessee accounting. More specifically, I'll discuss the asset and liability that arise from a lease agreement. I want to talk about the measurement of that asset and liability. I'll talk about presentation of the asset and liability in the financial statements and proposed disclosures. So what is the asset and liability that arise from the lease agreement? Well, under the proposed model, the boards have determined that the lessee has acquired a right to use the underlying asset when it enters into a lease agreement. And the lessee is paying for that right with its rental payments. So the right to use the underlying asset is called the right of use asset, and it will be recorded as a separate asset on the lessee's balance sheet. In addition, the liability that arises from the lease agreement is referred to the obligation to pay rentals, which will also be recorded separately. So how will the lessee measure the right of use asset and the obligation to pay rentals? The right of use asset will be measured at cost, which is equal to the amount of the obligation to pay rentals. This amount is recorded as the present value of the lease payments under the lease, which are to be discounted at the lessee's incremental borrowing rate. The incremental borrowing rate will be determined at inception of the lease and cannot be changed subsequently. So this right of use asset will be amortized over the life of the lease into amortization expense. And the obligation to pay rentals will be measured at amortized cost. This liability will result in a type of mortgaging liability that decreases with the payments made. The liability will also result in interest expense. I also want to note that lessees will be required to consider contingent rentals as well as options to extend when they record the asset and liability. However, we'll be discussing these items in more detail in a future webcast. So, will the right of use asset and the obligation to pay rentals be presented separately in the financial statements? The boards have decided that the right of use asset will be shown as a separate line item in property, plant, and equipment, along with similar assets that are owned by the lessee. And the obligation to pay rentals will be shown separately in the liability section of the balance sheet. Amortization expense that arises from the right of use asset, as well as interest expense on the liability, will be required to be shown separately on the income statement. And under the current statement of cash flows, cash payments will be required to be classified in financing activities. This financial statement presentation will give users better information about assets and liabilities that arise from lease agreements. So what disclosures will be required? Well, the boards have proposed additional disclosures for lessees. These will include the nature of the lease agreements, a maturity analysis of contractual and total obligations, a roll forward of the right of use asset and obligation to pay rentals, and the incremental borrowing rate used. I would like to just highlight two of the required disclosure items. The maturity analysis will give users information on the minimum payments required under the lease, as well as the total amounts that are recorded on the balance sheet. The roll forwards will provide users with transparency around changes in the asset and liability arising from the lease agreement. The roll forwards will include changes in estimates from contingent rentals and options to extend. As a result, the roll forwards provide useful information, and they also provide users with information on cash flows under the lease agreement. So this ends the podcast on lessee accounting. I hope that this has given you a good overall view on the proposed lessee accounting model. In the next podcast, I'll be discussing the proposed lessor accounting model. Thank you.